Bloody Grails. This is the take.
I'm breaking through.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 417, The League versus Secret Wars. I'm Matt Durson.
I'm Jen Hunt.
Clay and Inferno of Battle World.
Yes, welcome back. We're going to talk about the 1984-85 one primarily. We don't really have much to say about the one that came out a few years ago because I don't think...
What are we talking about?
I told you, Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
We're going to talk about the toys. We're going to talk about the series, the impact.
The secrets, the wars,
the whole thing.
I thought what we were talking about was the secret. That's why I reacted that way.
Oh, so I didn't get it. I didn't know if you heard me say League versus Secret War.
I don't really pay attention at the beginning of the show, the middle of the show, or the end of the show. So who knows what I say.
All right. It's good. I'm glad you and everybody else doesn't pay attention. So.
At least I'm honest.
So let's break it down here. Back in the 1980s, this was my gateway into comics, pretty much, I have to say. And I think it was your fault, John.
Yeah, because it was my gateway into comics. I read the Joes. I read a little Batman here and there. But Secret Wars was introduced to me in sixth grade, in Mr. Reynolds' class.
By Dream?
My fellow named...
Greg Mr. Reynolds, you're slower than molasses in January going uphill.
Hey, you're nuttier than a fruit... What was
fruit
it?
Cake.
Yeah. Nuttier than a fruit cake. Oh, Delbert Reynolds. Yeah. Oh, man. What a great...
Which,
a great
you know, it took me forever to realize that we had a teacher named Burt Reynolds. Like, it was like 30 years after.
Hey, now.
Well, because he never went by Bert, did he? I mean, I think they called him Del. Well, he went by Mister.
Yeah, I think that's what he probably wanted to do, the Hollywood thing, like, you know, like John C. Reilly, yeah. Or, you know,
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
So what was this gentleman's name who got you into Secret Wars in sixth grade?
Greg Tedeschi.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All right. And he was a big comics fan. I feel like in my memory of him, he'd be like someone maybe I wouldn't hang around with, but you know how school just kind of puts you together with people that you wouldn't normally hang around with.
I think I have the relationship with the younger Tedeschi the same way.
How about that? But, I mean, he was very nice and all, but he seemed like he'd be the dirty kid in school, you know? But I'm just saying that might not be the case. My memory of 35 years ago, you know, is a little sketchy at best.
Like dirty in a perverted way?
No, dirty in like the...
Like gross. Smelly. Your growth.
Smelly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I don't recall him ever smelling. It's just that that's what my brain is filled in with. That. So he'd be the smelly kid.
Well, I remember seeing... I mean, obviously we knew Spider-Man, Hulk, and stuff like that, right? I mean, but I didn't know... Too many, like, I didn't know who Hawkeye was. I had no idea who, you know, I didn't know most of the X-Men, although I guess they had appeared on Spider-Man and Amazing Friends.
Yeah, but like a lot of Spider-Man and Amazing Friends episodes were pretty bad, so.
Yeah, but I think that's, I didn't know who a lot of these heroes were. I didn't know who a lot of the villains were either. I think I knew Doctor Doom somehow.
My mind was like, what the, Hulk is speaking in complete sentences? What is going on?
Guys, I have an important one for you here. I only read this yesterday.
Why did you want to do this as a topic?
I bought it. I bought it, like, and I have it in issues. And I was like, I can't wait to fucking read this. So I said, boom, we should do this. It was on the topic list. And but you know what I actually did is I went on to Comixology and I bought the nearly 400 page version of this. I don't know why, but 368 pages. So I sat in my office yesterday and I read it with fresh eyes.
Well,
wow.
They're not
okay. So you have read it. Like, do you mean you read it for the first time? Or
yeah,
I mean you must have read. Oh, all right. There you go. Clay never read it.
Sometimes I guess classic books, you know, like I didn't, you guys like remember going to the store to get this. And I was always like, I kind of knew about it. I knew that that's where Spidey got his suit from. But like I was reading like the Tom McFarlane and like before that, like Venom comics. That's pretty much my whole relationship with the black costume. Maybe I have some Web of Spider-Man.
The black costume, that hooked me after that. Like after I was like, what? That was not the first appearance, but the second issue with it, drawn by Rick Leonardi, who I always felt was an underrated Spider-Man artist. No one ever gives him any.
Did he draw some G.I. Joes, maybe?
He may have. I think he drew Spider-Man 2099 as well, but I could be wrong about that.
Well, I want to give a quick, this is from jimshooter.com apparently a while ago. So this is right from, I'm going to read this direct quote from Jim Shooter.
Jim Shooter's email address many years ago.
Jim Shooter? I did an interview with him that was so bad that like Stefan decided not to even publish it. And I wasn't even mad.
Was it bad because he was difficult to interview or it was just
no, there was like, it was like about like a comic and but it was like some other guy wrote it and he was the editor and like they were both on the interview and I didn't even understand what the comic was about really. It was just like the whole thing was like a nightmare, but he was like nice enough on the phone, but it was kind of went nowhere. So it never even day.
You hear conflicting stories about Jim Shooter. Either he was great to you or he was horrible to you, which I guess I'll get into when we get into the comic a little bit. There's one particular point I want to make about.
Okay. Well, let me just read this because this, he was the editor at Marvel at the time. And he said Kenner had licensed DC heroes and Mattel had He-Man, but Mattel wanted something else in case superheroes took off. They wanted the next big fad. So they are interested in Marvel heroes. And he says, only if they staged a publishing event that would get a lot of attention and they could build a theme around. And they said, fans, especially young fans, often suggested to me one big story with all the heroes and all the villains in it. So he proposed that, and he decided only I can write it, really, or I should write it.
Only I can do justice only to this epic story.
Yeah. But Mattel did a lot of focus groups on what, you know, and they said, we want Doctor Doom and Iron Man to look more technological and more cool. And they also wanted fortresses and vehicles so they could sell all that stuff. And yeah, so that's how Secret Wars was born.
It's kind of interesting. The name
get
too,
into the vehicles
like, that like kids want, like the word secret in wars.
Right. So they said, okay, there you go. Like piece of cake. But it's kind of
like
funny.
Yeah. Marvel superheroes banner too. It's like DC kind of has a version of that's like the Super Friends, but I'm trying to think of what it's called, but it's just like boom, Marvel superheroes, and then they can put that on all the toys,
right? But that's really all. I never thought of that. I guess I mean I knew they had toys, I bought any of the toys, and then like, but I didn't know that that was the driving force. Like
that was the whole thing to get it going.
We can make toys.
What is weird is the fact that the toys that they put out, a lot of guys weren't even in Secret Wars. Like Daredevil. Or Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
Or Daredevil. Daredevil would have been cool in this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess Jim Shooter said, nah, I want these guys.
In my mind, Secret Wars was like the USA for Africa of its day. All the big heavy hitters coming out to sing a song.
There won't be snow on Battle World this Christmas time.
That's the other guys. Right,
so the storyline was this one from beyond or whatever they call them the Beyonder, and he created this world. He brought all these heroes and villains together from Earth because somehow he was like fascinated by the Earth and all the heroes, and he brought them all together.
For a second, like we don't really see the Beyonder, right? Like he's a force in this.
Yeah,
they don't really show him. Later in Secret Wars 2 or like other comics that came out after, like they showed like the human form of him. And I found like his actual form on the Marvel Wiki, and he looks like a gross little thing, like the dirty boy in his school.
They did some retconning few years ago of some of them, who the Beyonder was. So if you want to read the Illuminati series by Brian Michael Bendis, I think they kind of retconned some of Secret Wars 2 and whatever. So I don't know. But in this one, yeah, he's just like a glowy thing in space. And he says, if you guys like fight and the winners, anything they want, all you desire shall be yours, he says. So,
yeah, because he's like looking at Earth and seeing that they weren't getting what they really wanted. So he was going to pit them against each other so they could. Is that it? I can't quite remember.
Something like that?
I don't know. Clay's got new eyes on this. So.
It was, yeah, the way you just described it is how I understand it.
Okay.
And yeah. I listened to the other Comics Explained. I like listen to his thing today.
Ah, yes.
And he explained
I listened to a couple different things. I watched a few things to kind of...
His is like a 2-hour fucking long thing.
It is like a marathon. But fortunately, I had plenty of work, so I could listen while working.
So he brings this planet together of all this, like a patchwork planet, I think they called it a lot, like all different planets and to make this battle world, and including apparently a suburb of Denver. They keep saying that, like, oh, a suburb of Denver. I don't know why they don't just name this town.
I guess that's where Julie
Newmar. Julie?
The Carpenter, yeah.
Is Carpenter. Julie Carpenter? She's from that Denver there.
Yeah, the second Spider-Woman, the blonde-haired Spider-Woman. Right. And not there was really also
Spider-Woman. She is a Spider-Woman, but not
right.
The titular
she's not,
one.
But at the time, I don't think Jessica Drew was really doing anything. So I think she was the Spider-Woman at the time. I don't know. I maybe you guys know more background on her, but she never really did much.
I read the wiki and I was like, oh, okay, oh. Yeah. She's not really doesn't really mean much in Marvel except
no. For no. Was, except but,
biggest thing.
It's kind of like the. Was she the inspiration for how Spider-Man's black suit came out? He kind of goes like, oh, it looks kind of like that Spider-Woman's outfit. You know, anyway, and there's also two other women that they turned into, that Dr. Doom like turned into supervillains, Volcana and Titania. So he like sort of recruited them. It was like, I give you powers. And it was cool. Literally in issue 2, they fight. This is great. Like as a little kid, I was like, yes. Let's get right to it. The good guys win, and then the bad guys come back, and they blow up the good guys' headquarters.
Well,
and,
you got your Galactus in there too.
Oh yeah. You're right. I forgot about Galactus. He starts out on the bad guy side, and then he just becomes.
He's on nobody's side, really.
Right.
Yeah, he's just a force, just like Reed Richards has always seen. He's part of the cosmos. Because
he was going to start eating Battle World or whatever.
Yeah, there was always this threat that he was just going to eat the planet and then try to beat the Beyonder. That was like that was always the threat.
Save room for dessert, Galactus. Jeez.
Well, he needed enough power, you know. But there was also like this kind of Dark Doom kind of had this agenda going along too, where he was like, maybe I can use this and I can beat the Beyonder and then I can become all powerful. And so it was kind of, there was a lot going on. I'm not going to... It wasn't just
fighting. It's really hard to boil down into one episode.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to gloss over a lot of these.
I'll say that from like a sky eye view, like it's a very Marvel story, and like Jim Shooter was the writer, but this is like totally like what you want. It and it's maybe could have come out of Claremont or Byrne, like Marvel stories.
He had all the voices of the characters, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. He really, and even like what separates Marvel from DC, like this idea that, you know, the Avengers are getting all together, but then they're all like different. They can have their own adventures and things like that. It's just like a very Marvel.
Yeah, there was, the X-Men were kind of all.
X-Men are on their thing. The bad guys are their thing. Doom is doing his own thing. Galactus is doing his thing. You got your Avengers and your Spider-Man doing their thing. So they're all in their little comfortable corners. And then you've got
Magneto
thrown into the mix, too. Is he good? Is he bad? Could it be fair? It's good to be fair.
The first time you kind of see that, too. Yeah.
Mm. They had that weird Magneto-Wasp thing.
That sort of came out of nowhere.
What was that? Does that, like, was she kind of just...
She was playing him out.
Because
she
says,
at the end of it, she goes, yeah, haha, I just made out with you so I could know your plan, stupid idiot. And then she tries to fly away.
But like, what was his plan really? I mean, was he bad?
Well, his plan like was to like, you know, just sort of, okay, we tried it your way, Charles Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way we could do this is sort of like force everybody to be friends with us.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that's why he's like, nah, I got the Wasp prisoner. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was, but it was interesting. I mean, like.
Yeah, it seems like taking a prisoner might be a bad idea if you're trying to prevent you're like, look at Riz. Right. I'm doing this for a good reason, but I sort of kidnapped your leader of the Avengers.
But he's also, right. I love how he's just like, yeah, I'm got the lazy boy chair and opening some chips. And he's just like relaxed. He's like totally relaxed.
Prisoner of
war, Magneto.
Look, you got to make the best of a situation. And everything's provided for you, too.
I mean, that's true.
You got your toilets. You got your beds.
And this, obviously, this predates Infinity Gauntlet. But, you know, having read this, and then I kind of see Infinity Gauntlet in a different light now. Like, they'd already done this Secret War, you know, like they'd already kind of made everything disappear and like put all the teams together and like, you know, so I see it like different, like kind of a building block to getting to that.
Well, this was like the first. Yeah. I think this is pretty much the first big crossover. And then there were all these, one of your favorites, Clay, Atlantis Attacks.
Gordon's that's King. A good one. So is Axe of Vengeance.
Axe of Vengeance. Axe of Vengeance.
All these.
Daredevil. Annual number 4.
Oh, there you go.
That weird thing where there was a shark flying in the tunnel in New York. What was that one?
I don't know.
There was like the ghouls and stuff.
Oh, Inferno? Inferno?
Yeah, that's it.
That was mostly an X-Men thing. But yeah, they did do that. But I mean, yeah, it's like this was the first time they did that. And now they're still doing them. It's crazy. Like, I mean, literally, this was 1984. 1985 was a 12-issue series. So when, so like 1985, this is 2020. Jesus, like.
Yeah, and like John said before, like to have all the characters like really be, it's really Spider-Man, you know, like it's really Wolverine. Like, I think that Jim Shooter is pretty much a genius, whether he's a jerk or not. Like, but he really knows comic books, you know, like he knows. And he knows Marvel. At the time, if you're like the editor-in-chief, then you like are like, I'm doing this big thing, and I'm using all the toys.
Yeah.
Well, the and funny thing was...
As Clay was saying, it's I know the characters, and he had a very particular way that he thought Marvel Comics should read in terms of how you present a story, how you write your characters, and how you present the artwork, which... is why the artist Mike Zeck had to redraw a ton of pages because Shooter was insisting like clarity, clarity, clarity. And someone had asked Mike Zeck at one point, like, why'd you redraw this page? And he's like, because Shooter didn't think it was boring enough.
Oh, wow.
So just imagine how much more dynamic the pages would have been before Shooter asked for revisions, because I thought Mike Zeck was a genius. Even like when you could tell that he was sort of rushing the art, I still think he was great.
Well, easy way to do that is
the two issues that Bob Layton drew. I think,
right, I was going to ask about that.
I thought they were sort of weak because I always felt
did he draw. Do you?
He drew issue 4 and 5, I think.
Okay.
He drew the one where like the Hulk gets the mountain dropped on.
Yeah. That's 4. Yeah.
I always felt like I never thought Bob Layton was a bad artist. I just always thought his character poses were a bit stiff looking. They were a little awkward and stiff.
Well, and he probably had stuff on Iron Man years later, but not a couple years later, not many
years later. Years before and later at that.
Right. But, you know, there was a lot of characters to draw. But, the funny thing was.
Oh, go ahead.
The funny thing was, like, you were talking about Jim Shooter being a genius and all that. It sold really good. It was a huge seller, but it didn't get a lot of good reviews from people at the time. They thought it was kind of schlocky and juvenile and just like,
well, you know, if you're trying to sell toys, of course it's going to be a little schlocky and juvenile.
Yeah.
And look what it did. It drew in two new readers anyway. So.
That's right. The two of us.
I refilled the benefits of Secret Wars even if I didn't read it then. But one thing I was going to say about the art is like Zek's covers are so awesome. They're so great on G.I. Joe, and the Secret Wars covers are so good. If you can compare, you know, if you're like on like Comixology and you're just swiping through and you're like, look at a cover, you're like, oh my God, look at all those guys, it looks so good. And then you're like, oh yeah, there they are standing around.
Yeah. They are. It's usually like, it's like a long shot at one, drawn at one point perspective. And it's just like a bunch of characters that are like 50 feet away, you know?
Yeah. But the funny thing was, so when they announced, apparently Carol Kalish, who was Marvel's direct sales manager at the time, announced sequel, like not too long after the first one, they announced, she said it was met with boos. And she said, let's be honest, Secret Wars was crap, but it did sell.
Wow.
But I disagree.
I disagree. And I feel like time has really made people appreciate what it was, especially people like us. That was our foray into comics, and also just like, but I mean, it is good. Like it's Marvel storytelling.
It's quintessential Marvel in 1984.
Yeah. And you get the feeling that like, even with Endgame, like that, it's kind of what they're trying to go for. Like this is
everybody
all together
has to, you know, every character is used pretty well. Like, you know, everybody, there's nobody that's just like, oh, well, he's just going to be over there not really doing anything. So, you know what I mean? Like
Daredevil wasn't there because there was nothing for him to, for a blind guy to do on Battleworld. Not, I'm not trying to be ableist. I'm just saying like, maybe there wasn't a compelling story reason to have him be there.
Right. I'm sure that was it. I'm sure there were long, you know, meetings deciding who the characters are going to be.
Mattel was like, use this guy, and they were like, okay, we will. And then like, all right, now we're gonna put out none of those characters.
It's pretty funny that they had a Wolverine figure. They literally could have painted him differently and used and had him be Hawkeye, but instead they're like, we'll make Daredevil.
I have a feeling like that's something your brother would have done.
We did paint the Iron Man white so that because he was yellow.
Right?
Yeah,
red. And so, but at the time, Iron Man, or maybe a little while after this,
a year after
Iron Man's suit changed like silver and red. And so we painted the yellow part like white.
Yeah, had to wait years before you could finally get the Silver Centurion Iron Man as a figure. I think that was like one of those Marvel
I think you're right. The funny thing was, that was also because that was Rhodey as Iron Man, not Tony Stark. So I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Again, since I hadn't been reading comics, I was only familiar with them from cartoons that we watched. That I was like, wait, what? What?
It's so funny that it's Rhodey because, I mean, I didn't really think of him as Rhodey. I just thought of him as Iron Man when I was reading the story, even though I knew it was him.
Yeah, at the time it was a big deal because Tony Stark had been Iron Man for like 20, whatever, or 15, 8, whatever, how many years?
Three years.
Was it?
No.
No, Iron Man came out. Yeah, so anyways. But yeah,
When was he born in Afghanistan? That's how you have to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that was in the future. So
yeah.
So but Secret Wars takes place in the Marvel timeline, if you go by that weird Marvel logic. So Secret Wars is about 7 years ago.
Wow.
Oh, jeez, great.
How about that? Well, Ben Franklin was a very small child, apparently. And Susan Richards was pregnant with her
Ben Franklin?
Child. What the hell's his name? Franklin Richards. Ben Franklin. I think I was thinking of Ben Grimm.
Funny because I was just thinking that.
Did they really name him Ben Franklin? I had to think about it for a second.
I just pictured Ben Franklin in my head, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess.
That's we've gone with it. What was that thing that we were going to do? History Heroes or whatever? That it was going to be History Force. It was all going to be like people pulled from different times to fight crime.
That's good. Anyways, that's public domain.
That's how that's Marvel a good time idea.
Yeah, thank you.
It worked. So, but yeah, anyway, so this was when Tony Stark was drinking and he gave up being Iron Man and Rhodey became Iron Man and he was just, but he talked different. You know, he's like,
he talked like an 80s stereotypical black character, which is
written by a white guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's just watch the G.I. Joe cartoon and watch when they show Roadblock. That'll be all you need to know right there. I like when he's trying, where he's like hitting on,
yeah, he's hitting on Captain Marvel, the black Captain Marvel, not Captain Marvel, you know, blonde girl that we have now, but Captain, she was, yeah.
And that's who I think of when I think of Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel.
I think this lady is still around, Monica Rambeau. Of course, she's sort of, they use her as, yeah, she's the little kid in the movie.
Oh, I thought it was her mom. Oh, she's a little kid?
She's a different Rambo. I mean, she has a different first name. But yeah, anyway.
Rambo?
Rambo, yes. John Rambo. Funny name for that. But yeah, so we don't have to go through the whole storyline. But
no, because we never do. So
right.
You know, like, why start now?
Well, it's 12, as Clay said. It's very long.
Yeah.
So
your main beats are... the thing like keeps turning back into human. Galactus is going to eat the planet. They don't know what the shit's going on with that. Dr. Doom is up to his no good nicks things, and he's trying to get the power of the Beyonder. You've got your infighting with the X-Men and the Magneto, and the good guys don't know what to, like, the heroes don't know what to make of it. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to go home. Colossus wants to hook up with a healer that Johnny Storm was hooking up with.
Yeah, they kind of.
Yeah,
that was a big deal. I'll talk about that later, but yeah, that was a big deal because it was always Colossus and Kitty Pryde, and this was their big breakup. But
Claw comes back, and I always pictured him to talk like Digby Masters. It's Claw.
Now that you say that, I picked some. I just like screenshotted as I was reading it when I came across a really good panel, and like I was thinking about how great an audio comic this would be. Wolverine's like, hands off Hawkeye. Cyclops is a jerk, but he's our jerk.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Oh yeah, I mean, but in the end, so near the end, Doctor Doom does in fact get the Beyonder's powers, and he becomes all powerful. And he becomes also like, he's kind of like, no, I want to be good. The only reason I'm doing all this is because my mom's soul is held captive by
Mephisto. Is that like true, or was he? I thought he was having like a fever dream, and I couldn't tell if that stuff was really happening.
I mean, no, that's true. That's been his raison d'être for what?
Ooh. Clap sound effect.
So yeah, so like he's all powerful, but he tells the heroes like, no, don't worry, it's all good, you know, I'm not gonna hurt you. And they have a meeting with them, and they're kind of like, I don't know, I'm not sure I trust them. And they're all kind of like
the Colossus is the holdout
at first.
He's like, because they say it has to be unanimous, because you know what could happen is that we could all agree and then a giant lightning bolt will come down and strike us.
Yeah.
And then Colossus is like, you guys are right, we should attack. And then a giant lightning bolt comes down and strikes them.
Yeah. That is literally the end of issue 11.
Coincidence?
Should have been the end of the whole series.
Yeah. All right. This huge panel, this one full page splash page of all the heroes getting like obliterated. It's pretty cool, actually. I remember as a kid being like, what? Because I still didn't know how comics worked.
Yeah.
You know? So I was just like, what the fuck? So yeah, that was, and then there was issue 12, which was like also a thick, it was like a double sized issue or something.
Like yeah, that. It's like a nice thick steak.
There's not even really that much bonus in here, and plus all the issues have ads in them. There's like maybe 25 to 30 pages of back matter and front matter. The rest is all comics in 368 pages. So it's a lot. 12 issues is a lot of comic books. They made like 28 page comics back then. Sometimes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sometimes it did. But yeah, issue 12 was a big one. But I loved also issue 12 opens on like Captain America's shield, all like half.
Oh, I know.
Chunk, like a big chunk taken out. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is the worst. Like, this is the worst. But that healer comes. That was in love, you know, that Cyclops doesn't, it's like Colossus was in love with, she heals him, brings him back to life, he brings back, but it's kind of funny because
Claw is telling him, like, this is what could have happened, because, how do we know, like, you didn't really want to kill them, you just think you wanted to kill them, but deep down, your subconscious, because that was the whole thing with Doom, he's like, I can't fall asleep, because blah, blah, blah. And if Doom was, like, had any fucking brains, he'd be like, I should just sort of evolve into a higher life form with all this power, so I don't need to have a physical body and stuff, and I don't need to sleep and do this other shit, because he got that. The Beyonder was like that.
Well, the Beyonder was inside Claw too, so the Claw was like, the Beyonder was manipulating Claw into egging Doom on, you know, kind
of
like,
and also like part of Galactus' ship was in Claw too.
Oh, is that
what that was why he was cutting them apart?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did. Well, he did that to make the lenses so that he could absorb Galactus's power and then have enough to confront the Beyonder.
There's so much stuff in this that, like, we're it not going to cover. Because we, like, only
said,
like,
the whole thing about black suit.
Like, we're not even, like, we'll have to.
We haven't even gotten to that, right.
Ultron is,
Ultron
wants to kill everybody.
That's true.
What Ultron do.
Well, first, Galactus takes all of Ultron, like, he takes Ultron power, because Ultron's like, I want to kill everybody, including you, big guy, and he tries to fight, and Galactus is just like, zip, and kills him, but then Doom brings him back, and he's like, he's going to be my slave bot. Not sex bot, slave.
No, slave bot. Yeah, slave bot, definitely.
And so, like, but that was pretty interesting, because Ultron had always
been this heavy. Also have to point out that Molecule Man is getting, like, the 5-star treatment from Doom, being like, you're like the most powerful guy around, you know?
Yeah.
Would you like to meet my friend Volcana, whatever?
Yeah, he's like hooking her.
She likes wimpy nerds who have no self-confidence. He's like, I'm a wimpy nerd that has no self-confidence.
Yeah, but then he gets confidence. It's kind of
He starts to realize.
It's pretty, there's a lot.
Yeah, really the biggest character arc in the whole thing.
I guess Volcana. He does. Yeah, actually continues into the Secret Wars 2, which not nearly as good. But
yeah, it's really annoying. I even as a 12-year-old, I was like, I kind of hate this. But
yeah, it was too big. It was literally in every comic.
Yeah,
it's terrible. But so in the end, Doom may have subconsciously brought back the heroes or helped it along a little bit, but they came back. And they attacked him, but he was so frazzled that he was like, Claw, you go deal with them. There was like a cool, because there was a cool moment where Captain America goes to confront Doom, and he's like,
He just keeps blasting him.
Yeah, he keeps blasting him and blasting him to bits, but he keeps coming back because Doom is all powerful and just, he's like bringing him back because he's just like, he can't control his power. And eventually it just overcomes him, and then that little bit of the Beyonder that was in Claw comes back, takes back his godhood, and Doom is sent away. And, like, presumed dead, but, I mean, come on, it's Doom.
It's Doom. Yeah, he's like the Megatron of Secret Wars. Like, yeah, just floating out in space, surviving some sort of big explosion. Then his eyes open up, he's like, I'll be avenged.
Yeah.
I feel like there's, like, the villains being, like, good guys. You know, I don't think you see a lot of that with Doom now in comics, like the last, 10, 20
years.
Yeah,
he was like Iron Man for a little while, right?
And then like Magneto, like, leading parts of the X-Men at certain points. Like, it seems like it's not only a big crossover, but the big like shift for Marvel.
Well,
big villains,
one of the things that Jim Shooter was doing at the time was planning the new universe, but he also wanted to start introducing his own things, which is why Black Suit Spider-Man comes along. He's like, he wanted to put the Shooter stamp on things. And the guy that came up with the Spider-Man idea was a fan.
Really?
who submitted it to Marvel and said, hey, here's a, like, if you, you know, if you change Spider-Man's costume, and they're like, that's great, thanks, buddy. Here's $250 for your troubles.
That's also, what that guy got. That's pretty much how Jim Shooter got into comics, too. Didn't he, like, write, like, a letter to fucking Gene Colan
like
or something?
Kid. He was, like, 13,
he was like 14 years old. 14
years
old. And, like, Carmine Infantino, yeah, like, God, hired him or something.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
They let that guy do, it was maybe even, like, a year ago, they had...
Sort of recently, I know.
Hey, why don't you like write a 8-page story, and J.J. Abrams gonna write an 8-page story for the anniversary of Venom or something like that. So they like gave him another $200 in 2019, I guess.
Yeah,
right. That was really, I guess. I mean, that was the biggest thing to come out of it. Although obviously we didn't know at the time it was.
The panel right here. This is great and such a toy tie-in, like such a, we used to get this in G.I. Joe all the time too. Well, I'll be an 8-Ball's uncle. That glob just spread out and became a costume and dissolved away the standard with my old one. Not bad. Different, but not bad. That sounds like, what is this? Earth fruit? It's yummy and not bad. I wonder why it didn't come out like my old one. That's, what was I thinking of? And then he's like, in the next panel, he's like, look, I can make it into shorts.
He's like, he's out, like, the web, yeah, just like a tennis outfit.
It's like Johnny from Airplane. He was like, I can make a hat.
I mean,
but yeah, that was the
idea, I guess, in retrospect. But yeah.
But isn't it like he didn't use the right machine for the costume or something? Wasn't it like the, like they retconned it so it, like it was the symbiote was hiding in there and.
Yeah, I mean that is one thing they've done. They've retconned like everything. There's like a whole planet of these symbiotes and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. But at the time, it was.
And he's just saying that it's like,
oh my God, Spider-Man has a new costume.
And he's saying like that his mind is in control of the suit. He's like, I must have been thinking about Spider-Woman's costume when I touched it.
Who wouldn't be thinking about Spider-Woman?
Yeah. No matter. Like, oh, well, maybe I now I'm just doing this in my Peter Parker voice. Oh, well.
Of course. Oh,
maybe I was subconsciously influenced by that new Spider-Woman suit. Hope she doesn't mind. Whoa! What was that? A planet quake?
obviously that was the biggest thing, and then it became even bigger years later. But I want to bring up the Colossus thing too, though, because that was huge in X-Men, and that was sort of, there was some great
Kitty
issues
Pryde.
Of X-Men that came out of this. Kitty Pryde, like, I remember buying this issue where, like, he tells Kitty, like, I met someone and we fell in love and blah, blah, blah. Even though she's dead, like the woman died. I guess we should say the healer died bringing Colossus back to life. She put like all of her life force into it. But then
I feel like that was very Star Trek. A lot of this is very Star Trek. Like they're on a planet and like you can't, she doesn't speak the language, but she can heal. It's like, just lay down here and
How can you fall in love with someone? It's like you just, it's. Comics,
the universal language of love.
Yeah,
but the funny thing is, so like Wolverine was just like, you're only in love with her because she healed you. Like it has this psychosomatic, like, you know, effect on your brain. And he wanted
Step
to beat the shit
it.
Out of Colossus because he was like, you abandoned Kitty. Like, what an asshole you are! And so like they go to this bar, and it like Wolverine is like, I'm gonna beat him up. Nightcrawler is there trying to keep the peace, and it happens that Juggernaut is also drinking there, and Colossus ends up getting a huge fight with Juggernaut, and Juggernaut beats the crap out of him. And Wolverine just like, all right, well, you know, it happened anyway. So it was a really cool issue. It was one of the first X-Men issues I remember reading, and I was just like, oh, this is, even as like a kid, I thought that was pretty messed up and pretty cool at the same time, like pretty deep. So.
I like that part where Colossus is sort of like missing Kitty and thinking about her. It's sort of, you know, like the comic book equivalent of like rubbing one out, and then Professor X hops in there. He's like, Colossus, get with it.
He's like, yeah, knock on my door.
The bandana means don't come in.
I love the comic book equivalent of that. I mean, that's,
he does it later where he's hooking up with her. He's like, yeah, he cock blocks him.
Yeah. And he's like, go away, professor. He's like, no, we kind of need you to fight Galactus now. And he's like, I'm making out with my lady here. It is pretty funny. I guess when you think about it too, like, what did the Wasp and Magneto do? Was it the comic book equivalent of making out, or was it what was it? Did they go farther?
I'm gonna say, like, Magneto got to third base.
Oh, okay.
And he got a handy. Because I mean,
whoa,
like, because so double she needed to base. Get the information.
They both got to third base. Is what you mean?
All right. She's
not a bad looking man, so she's Silver like Fox. Could be worse, you know.
Silver Fox. Yeah,
I mean, it could be the blob I have to do this with, you know.
There was, speaking of the Wasp, I don't even understand how this works. Apparently, when they did the second Secret Wars, and I don't mean Secret Wars 2, I mean the one they did a couple years ago where they just had all the universes combined. There was a Deadpool called this. Series called Secret Wars. And it was a 4-issue miniseries which sort of retold the events of the original Secret Wars with Deadpool in it. And it was kind of just this funny thing. Like, Deadpool was actually
That's
there.
Probably
somehow
funny as hell.
The Wasp That's... made everyone forget that he was there.
I'm gonna get that. That sounds great.
I bet it's pretty funny.
If it's Gary Duggan, it's probably really good.
Apparently they try to explain why all the figures had those shields. I think they're having fun with that. But
the Captain America bugged me that, you know, those lenticular shields. So I just drew my own shield and cut it up.
Did you
to
make
shape
it,
and put it
round
in there of the, you know,
Captain America shield?
Yes, it
round.
Was round. I guess we should point out, yes, that when Doom is defeated and this whole, like, all you desire shall be yours thing, Captain America's shield is restored at the end.
He does the Mystery Science Theater noise of the brain guy. And then the shield goes back.
Yes. But there was some good stuff. Like, there was also an issue of Thor, like Thor 383 or something like that. That
Enchantress was all over Thor. She's like, yeah, we should, you know, we're us.
We're the only two Asgardians on here. We should hook up. And Thor's like, well, I'll do it if you become a good guy. Basically, he's like, don't be.
She's like, I'm not going to become a guy.
No, it's exactly what you said. But they kind of played that out. They showed that. Happen again. The Enchantress is like telling the story to her sister, like the time that she could have had Thor, like if only she could have been like a good person, but she didn't. Yeah, and Thor ended up, you know, they thought he got killed by Ultron and whatever, but yeah, so it's kind of cool.
They went back to this. The first and last time where they didn't put the cart before the horse, and like they had this, and then it actually blossomed into cool new storylines and in Thor and Spider-Man and everything. Like stuff actually did come from this. Now they say it comes from this, but they come up with the crossover idea first, and then they force everybody else to do it. This one was like probably the only time where naturally could have like been like, oh, I'll take that element and I'll put that in Thor, and you know, I'll do some cool thing with it, you know.
Yeah, they did. Also, She-Hulk became a member of the Fantastic Four, you know, and Thing decided to stay on the planet, and he had his own series for a while. It was just a thing. Going around
that guy,
in space.
The Comics Explained guy said he had a 36-issue series after this.
I
have the first issue of that. I remember buying it when it came out.
Thing is like the only superhero I can draw that doesn't look stupid. They can just draw rocks.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot, yeah. And also, not only did it, like we said, it started all these other crossovers for good or bad, I guess you could say, like, thank you very much. But at the time, it was just to sell some toys. But they also did like a Secret Wars 3, a couple, it was like a 2 or 3 issue arc in Fantastic Four.
And then there was also Secret War.
Right.
Didn't Bendis write that? And it was like a painted book.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. That was a completely different thing.
They used the name. Used the name. It was like a Nick Fury story or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One thing that I was reading, it was called, I forget what it was, Avengers. Anyways, they had like Arcade do like a Battle World series that I thought was really great because they kind of like just pitted people against each other and they killed them off. It was like Battle Royale. It was and Arcade isn't really a Secret Wars villain. Is he in Secret Wars 2?
No, I don't think so. But I mean,
they were doing a lot with Battle World a couple years ago, like when they had Old Man Logan and all the different
right
universes back in again. So like they, you know, still use all this stuff.
Well, I think when they did that one, it was Hickman in 2015. They did this Secret Wars.
I didn't understand that at all.
I think it was really just a way to kind of get rid of the Ultimate Universe too, because that's what they ended up having, all these different universes, and they kind of just blended them together. And then, but I think really the idea was just, how do we get rid of this Ultimate Universe thing, and but still keep the guys that we want? Basically, Miles Morales was like, I think, the only one they really wanted to keep. So, that was their storytelling way of doing it. But it was again, just like Secret Wars 2, it was huge. Like, there was too many books. It was lame. Not that, I mean, like, this was great. I mean, there were definitely, the regular Marvel books were still going on.
Yeah, the end of, like, you reading, you know, Spider-Man gets sucked into this thing at the end of his issue of Amazing Spider-Man. Then the next issue, it's him coming back with a black suit. And then you've got to read Secret Wars to find out what happened in between.
Yeah. But really, it was self-contained. It was 12 issues. Like, you know, you didn't have to buy the crossovers and all this other crap. Like, all these other things that they've been doing.
What's cool about even reading it, you know, like this many years later. It's a good story and you don't need to know all the other bullshit. Sometimes you go to read, like, I don't know, Civil War or whatever, and you're like, oh, there's actually probably 10 issues of Captain America or whatever else that I'm missing that I'm not reading this whole trade paperback or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I know they want to sell more books, but this is probably this would be the way to do it, right? Because it worked for us. So, like, just have one self-contained series. But if you're just reading Spider-Man, you're like, well, I better get that other one because I don't know where this black suit came from, you know? Like,
yeah.
Why do you have to put the thing at the top and now, like, you know, whatever. I don't want to complain too much. But Secret Wars, I think, has gained a lot of popularity. Like, it's made lists of, there was like an MTV, some guy on MTV, like, even at the time, made like a list of the best comic books or whatever, and all these things. It's always on those kinds of lists.
That's why, you know, I'd like to point out that when Durst and I were doing our Secret Monkey comic, we went to a focus group and said, what are words that people like? And we were like, oh, right. Secret Wars. People like Secret Wars. Well, they've already done Secret Wars. People like monkeys. So there we go.
There we go.
That's it. We have focus group research.
Yeah, focus group. And also, of course, number 8, Secret Wars number 8, the first appearance of the black suit is.
Well, I feel there are two like really iconic moments in Secret Wars: the black suit cover, mm-hmm. and then the cover for issue 4, where like the Hulk is holding up the entire fucking mountain and is like annoyed about it. Those are like
all the covers are pretty great, but you're right about those are
the ones that you're just like, damn.
Yeah,
it is similar. They had him. That was Bob Layton drew that cover, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I read that they made him redraw it because it looked too much like the Herb Trimpe cover where Hulk was holding the logo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But so they turned, I guess he was like facing the camera initially, and they were like, redraw it. And he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I kind of subconsciously had that in there, I guess. You know, it's basically the same thing, but he was like, yeah, I see why you want me to redraw it. And it does look fucking badass.
Yeah. It's pretty cool because you get the sense of how big that mountain is. Like a mountain, it's not just him just holding up a little, because like, they're kind of small in the at the bottom.
You can't hold it forever.
Well, there was a funny thing in that issue where Reed Richards is like telling him that he's not that smart because he's trying to get him mad so that he'll get stronger and be able to hold the mountain up. I kind of like that. And later on, Reed's like, "Hey, sorry about that." And he's like, "No, I get it. You know, I know what you were doing, but
I'll get you later." You know what I also liked about these covers is the 80s limited series on the top. It's number 4 in a 12-inch limited series.
Yeah.
We got that with G.I. Joe. We got that with some other stuff. And then I think they even did, like, the Punisher was, like, number 5 in an ongoing series eventually when they just, like, made it, like, not a limited series anymore.
Well, you know what I miss about Marvel Comics? I always like the corner box with the character in it.
Yeah,
corner box is pretty cool.
The character.
Yeah.
And they do it now, but they'll, like, you know, for like variants and stuff. Like, that's always cool. Yeah. But why not have it on there anyway? Now it would be different because you wouldn't have to have DC. The comics code.
No.
Yeah. 75 cents for that. Issue 1, by the way. That was another thing they put in the corner box.
Yeah.
Price.
Yeah, they were all 75. Let's see if issue 12 was also 75. Probably.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
No, it was thick.
It was big.
T-H-I-C-C. One whole dollar.
Oh, wow.
But you got a lot of value in that dollar.
Yeah, you did.
Now, let me ask you guys something. Maybe you know. What did... I kind of remember, like, the... This is dumb, but, like, the Fantastic Four movie origin where, like, Victor Von Doom had, like, a tiny little scar on his face. And then that... But that he was so vain that he had to cover himself up. Like, in this issue, like, when Doom, like, remakes himself and he, like, looks like a pretty boy, like, what did he look like under... All that. It was just like hamburger. Do you look like fucking Deadpool?
Well,
or is it like just a tiny thing?
Here's the old origin. Jack Kirby used to say that he just had a scar. Yeah. Because I guess they've changed it since. That he used to have like just like a scar, but it was imperfect. So he was so vain that he thought he was the ugliest thing. So then when he went to like the monks and they built the Duke armor for him and then they put the for some reason, I don't know why he didn't wait for the face mask to cool off after it came out of the fucking oven. But
same
that was what made him all deformed.
Right. So he scarred himself more permanently. And I think he blamed Reed Richards, right? There was like a thing on him. Like somehow he blamed
Reed
Richards. That's why he always hated
in the, like he's like, you're off by a decimal point there in that thing, and then he got the explosion and stuff in college, and he's like, This is all his.
I like the Doom Richards in college and like the Magneto Charles Xavier in college. You just like, I'm going to go my way after graduation. I'm going to go my way. You're going to go your way. We were dorm mates. You know, we used to share ramen noodles, but now
all that I learned all that Marvel Saga. That's how I found out all that stuff from reading Marvel Saga.
Ooh, you know, what's great is the Wolverine Saga. I had all of those.
Oh, really? I just read Marvel Saga. It was just reprints of old.
Well, it was sort of like a...
Like the Watcher or whatever, right?
It was like sort of like getting the encyclopedia of Marvel, in a sense, because it would be panels and like then a little text next to it about here's what was happening.
Mm.
I like those things. I'm sure I've read those, too.
I love those, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And like I said, so I guess I'm going to go by memory here. So when they did that Illuminati series, Bendis sort of retconned and made the Beyonder was just an Eternal, I guess.
Okay, see, right? I can't.
He's part of
I know that I
a
read
race
it, but
called
I can't.
The Beyonders, which are Eternals. which is, I'm just adding right. words to what you say. I don't know if any of it's true.
I think, yeah, but he was just like, so he was just a regular guy who happened to have this immense power. Yeah, but like back in the '80s, he was like the whole universe. Like he was, but it's like when they did this, they're like, oh no, he's just kind of crazy. Yes, and I didn't really understand it, but apparently since Black Bolt was one of the Illuminati, like he could, and he was the king of the Eternals or whatever, he could tell this guy what to do. And it was just, I was like, why are they doing this?
Thanks for ruining my childhood, Ben.
Seriously. It's like, thanks for taking this.
So just, yeah, like there's like a million Beyonders. They're just like a race of people that right. have that power. But that particular one was like snooty.
So he right.
like wanted to do this to fuck with the people of Earth or whatever.
Seems like
that. But yeah, back then it was just, holy shit, this is like Galactus level, but bigger. This guy could boss yeah. Galactus around that. Wow, he's just like a god. Right. One thing I didn't like about that is just because I'm used to things being like sort of spoon-fed to me, but like I was kind of expecting him there to be like, this is what the Beyonder looks like Dark Side or something, you know? Like, there wasn't any of that. Just like,
no, I think that was fine.
They just like, talk about it.
Yeah. Because he was just, and he wasn't like a thing. Like, he was this giant, he was just the universe. He was a universe unto himself. So, but then they kind of were in that. Yeah. I mean, and even then, like, or whenever they did that storyline, Secret Wars was already like 25 years old then. It's like, why are you going back this far? Like, can't you tell? Like, they're still doing it in Marvel. They're bringing back the Sin Eater and all this stuff in Spider-Man. Right. Yeah, I'm like, can't you come up with
that? Yeah, right. There's plenty of other ideas.
You think that
if you can do something cool with it? I mean, like I'm not like totally caught up with Nick Spencer, but like, anytime somebody takes over Spider-Man, you like kind of go back to, oh yeah, I'm gonna make my version of like the Sinister Six, and they'll have to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like tropey stuff, but
literally, I mean, it's one thing. It's like Green Goblin gets brought back every couple of years, but the Sin Eater hasn't been seen in Marvel comics since I was a kid.
Since 1986.
Yeah, seriously. But anyways, like, yeah, Secret Wars, the original has like, you know, it's still good. Obviously, Clay still, it still holds up. Clay can tell you because he just read it the other day.
I mean, it was like really great. Like, you know, like I read monthly comics and stuff, and like I'll occasionally go back and like I'll read, you know, I read like what I consider the classics. Like I read, you know, like once a year or something, and like I'll be like, oh, I should like really read Transmetropolitan. I've never checked that out. Or I should read Secret Wars. Like, and then I bought the issues and I was like, I can't wait to read this. And so like, this is the perfect excuse to like totally just sit and read it. And I'm not disappointed at all. I loved it. It was everything great about, like, you know, the things that I liked about Infinity Gauntlet, the thing about I liked about like the new Avengers movies. Like, when you have this many characters and that all makes sense, it's not a big mess, man. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean it's no small feat.
Yeah, and it was started by toys.
That's right.
But I mean, the Avengers was started just because fucking, you know, they were like, the publisher was like, look, they're making Justice League, give me that. You know, right. Do that too.
Yeah, that's basically what this was. And I guess it's a good thing too, because like Mattel wanted to like double down because they already had He-Man, and when we see what happened to He-Man after like 1 year, I guess they were probably right. They released three waves of Secret Wars action figures, vehicles, and accessories.
What kind of vehicles? 1984
to 85. They had the Doom Castle. I remember I had like the Doom Fortress or whatever.
They had a fantastic car or a Spider-Mobile.
No,
yeah, they had like Doom's Castle. I think that was the only playset that came out.
Yeah, I think so. But I feel like they must have had some cars or something. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have them, but I mean, they were in the book. Like the villains would like drive around in tanks and stuff and whatever. So, yeah. it's still, you know, it's good stuff. I don't know, check it out.
And like Secret Wars toys. Cool villains are in this too. I mean, you know, like Doc Ock and stuff, you know.
Yeah, all the major players.
We didn't even mention it.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on the villains too much, except we talked about Molecule Man.
There's actually like so many characters that we didn't probably even get all the heroes. You know, like there's just so many.
Yeah, it was like, you know, the A-team of heroes. So yeah, I don't know. It was pretty.
What do you think of my like estimation there? That like, you know, maybe this is kind of what like Kevin Feige kind of wanted all along. You know, like if they were gonna like pick four comic books to base the Marvel Cinematic Universe on, this is probably one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm sort of. But I don't know. That seemed like he was going with Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Well, that is true, but you know, do you get that without this? Probably not.
Probably not.
No. I don't know. Probably not. But I mean, I don't think obviously no one at the time knew that there would be a Marvel Cinematic Universe. But yeah, I mean, seeing as how this one sort of bored out all the other crossovers, I think is the end. So yeah, you could say that this was kind of
is this Jim Shooter's masterwork? Is this like the thing that people most remember him for?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean,
can't say really.
Yeah, he did a lot of other stuff. I mean,
Legion. He did Legion of Superheroes. I don't know. He was probably doing
Valiant. He did a lot of that.
Ever, you know, like that's like his thing. And Mike Zeck, I mean, we all love Mike Zeck. I especially like Mike Zeck for his G.I. Joe work, but also Punisher. Like, he's one of my favorite artists.
He did Punisher, and then he did the Kraven's Last Hunt.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one.
Very popular, yeah.
I have read that. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like it at the time, but maybe I should go back. I don't know. Maybe I didn't give it. It's just due. But
oh, so when you say something else French.
Oh, like raison d'être?
Ooh.
Reason to be.
But you can pick yourself up a Kang from Secret Wars figure.
No, Kang is a cool.
Oh, yeah?
For $11.24 on eBay.
And that was something like this: the Kang, he gets killed or something, right? And then, but
yeah,
he doesn't really because he's a time traveler and there's multiple versions of him. I went down like a Kang rabbit hole.
You brought him back to life, I think, right?
Yeah, when Doom had his all powerfulness, he said, "Oh, here, look, see how good I am? I'm going to bring back Kang, who I had killed." And yeah, so that's. But yeah, I guess. If you want to go into time travel, technically, there would probably be other versions of Kang, but, whatever. But apparently that Marvel series, like that was for all ages series, they did like different versions of Secret Wars where it was from like Spider-Man's perspective or from like... They did one from Captain America's perspective of Secret Wars. It's kind of neat.
Like the animated one or actual comic books?
No, the comic book ones. I feel like they did like, Yeah, very well. So there you go.
I must have had Spider-Woman's costume on my mind.
Oh, yeah, we can wrap it up. But I do want to think, what is the... Like, I feel like that Spider-Woman kind of is... They were almost teasing, like, who is she? Is she actually even a good guy? What's her deal? And, like it went kind of nowhere.
Same thing when, like, Lockheed was going back to Earth or whatever, and he had his little friend dragon, his lady friend dragon, and then there was, like, an explosion.
Oh, there was an issue of X-Men that covered that.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, they actually ended up in Japan. Even though they were supposed to go back to exactly where they disappeared on Earth, but like something with that other dragon. And then when they came out in Japan, that other dragon was huge.
Oh, okay.
It was like
Okay, I remember.
Is
that
this pre Excalibur then?
Oh yeah.
Talking about Lockheed. Wow.
Yeah, pre Excalibur. So they kind of did this, you know, kaiju thing with this giant monster in Japan, this like giant lizard. And but it was kind of funny because Lockheed was still small, but Lockheed like bossed it around and was like, "Hey, stop it!" So yeah, they did follow up on that.
Okay, good.
But I don't know, as far as the white and black suit Spider-Woman, I don't know. I don't know if they did much with her, which I'm kind of surprised at, seeing as how much, especially guys like Bendis, like to go back and
they tell did. Things. They gave her like a different name, like Arachne or something, and they did. Yeah. I like was reading her Wikipedia and I like fell asleep reading it. I couldn't.
Yeah, but
they there did were a lot do of something.
Yeah, there were a lot of other things that came out of this, and yeah, like you could probably spend a lot of time and money if you wanted to get all the different things that like went into this. But I would say just buy the 12 issues and enjoy it because it's really good.
I somehow have like pretty good looking copies that I haven't even opened. I guess
really
stay in their bags.
Well, if you I got mean, number eight, you are in the
I
money.
Have them all. I got them all like a couple years ago. I was like, I'm gonna read them.
Yeah, okay.
It was one of those situations where like it was like a birthday gift certificate, and I saw them like at New England Comics. I was like, yeah, I need that.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, Secret Wars.
I gotta have it.
I gotta have it. But yeah, I mean, you could get a couple hundred bucks for that if it's in good shape. At least
so. Not my comics, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Anyways, well, that's all we got, I think, on that. Don't forget, check us out, leaguepodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We are on Spotify and Anchor and Apple and all those cool places.
And please, we don't really have many subscribers on YouTube, and I'm probably after you hear this, but before, but it's actually after I record this too. I don't know why I'm talking about time, but please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Because
you're Kang.
Channel.
You're Kang, right?
Because I'm Kang. If I could go back in time to issue or episode one, I would Kang and show up, and you guys would be like, "What are you doing here? Why are you so fat?" And then I would just say, YouTube, sign up for YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us League Podcast on there.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, very well. So thank you for listening. And yeah, we will see you chumps later.
Enough said.
Excelsior. Is Jim shooting from Jim Shooters? What was that?